I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and this is the Culture and Conversations Podcast. Yes, 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 finally the episode that I've been promising is here. I had a chance to speak with the lovely, the talented, the soon-to-be Oscar Award-winning actress, Dominique Perry, from the hit HBO show Insecure. Yes, the Culture and Conversations podcast went all the way to the West Coast to make this interview happen. Actually, no, we just made a phone call to make this conversation happen. And Dominique was such a gracious guest on the Culture and Conversations podcast. And I can't wait for you guys to hear her story about how she is pursuing her acting dreams and ambitions. And we're just so happy to help her tell her story in the Culture and Conversations podcast. And keeping with that theme of people doing amazing things and trying to reach dreams in their career, in their careers, we want to tell you a little bit about Shaquem Griffin. I got a chance to see this young man on TV as he was working out at the NFL Combine. And Shaquem only has one hand. And it's an amazing story about how he's playing football at the highest level and about to become a professional football player, hopefully, if some team makes the right decision and give him an opportunity to display his heart on Sundays. So just want to encourage you guys with this podcast episode. A lot of encouraging content. Sit back and relax. Yes, Dominique Perry is coming up next on the Culture and Conversations podcast as we talk about Insecure, her career, and all the good stuff she's got going on. Next up. This is the Culture and Conversations podcast, and yes, I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm wonderful, and I'm glad that you guys are listening yet again to another episode of the Culture and Conversations podcast. I had a chance to discover Shaquem Griffin as I was watching their bowl game against the University of Auburn, and this game was awesome because Shaquem, he plays for the University of Central Florida. At least he played that there in college. And, you know, it was a great game because obviously the University of Central Florida is seen as a underdog in a game against, you know, the mighty Auburn Tigers. But they won. The UCF beat Auburn, and that made me feel really good because I'm not really that much of a fan of the SEC. And Shaquem's story came to my attention during the game, because Shaquem was playing and dominating the game with only one hand. He actually had his left hand as a child amputated because he was born with a birth defect that essentially left his left hand in chronic pain and crippling his ability and his quality of life. So Shaquem went to college and got a scholarship to play at the University of Central Florida as a linebacker, and he's out there dominating the game. And I saw this, and I was like, man, this is an amazing story. And when you see that type of determination, you see that type of will, you see that type of agency, you're just amazed, because we oftentimes, as people, we make so many excuses for why we can't do things. We talk about the money we don't have. We talk about how we're not tall enough. We talk about how we're not short enough. We talk about how we're not big enough. We talk about how we're not small enough. We talk about, you know, racism. We talk about classism. We talk about, all these just these factors and this stuff that happens in life that we conveniently reach for when we want to make excuses. And yet you see this guy, Shaquem, playing football at the highest level. Not just playing at the highest level, but dominating at the highest level of football, and just being awesome with one hand. And I thought about it. I said, you know, I've got two hands, I've got two legs, I've got every body part I'm supposed to have. And how many excuses have I made in my life about why I couldn't do something? How many excuses have I made about not being, able to accomplish a goal or accomplish a dream? All because I just didn't go at it as hard as I see Shaquem going at it to be a football player. And the part of his story that gets to become even better is that he apparently wasn't invited to the NFL Combine. The Combine is a basically a large workout where players come and work out for football teams through a series of standardized drills and activities so that the teams can see how they perform and compare them to one another. And the players who get invited to the combine are typically players that the experts in the NFL, the scouting experts, believe teams will draft. So that's why they invite them to the combine, so that they can kind of get a feel for their talent and their abilities. And Shakeem didn't initially get invited. And yet when he got invited, it was an unbelievable day for him at the combine. He apparently ran the fastest 40-yard dash of any linebacker in the last decade. He runs a 4.38. So to run a 40-yard dash, he can do it in four seconds or 4.38 seconds, which is blistering fast for somebody who's running at 227 pounds. That's just unbelievable speed. That's like wide receiver speed. And his broad jump numbers were 9 feet, 9 inches. Another crazy, unbelievable athletic feat. And the part that probably is the most impressive is that there's a bench press test where you have to bench press 225 pounds as many times as possible. And that's a gauge for your strength and your power as an athlete in the NFL. And Shakeem puts on a prosthetic, which, you know, gives him the ability to grip the bar with his left arm. And he bench presses 225 pounds, 20 reps or 20 times. And that's just impressive, unbelievable stuff. If you have a chance, definitely go check that out on YouTube. That's all over the place, him working out at the combine and him doing those things. And I guarantee you'll stop making excuses about your life and what you can't do. You know, there's always things that we have to overcome in life. And there's in it, on any journey to a dream and to a goal, there's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be hurdles. And there's just some things that you're going to be born, you know, with disadvantages in. But Shakeem shows me, as a football player, as a man, as an athlete, what you can do if you really set your mind to trying to overcome the obstacles and the hurdles that you got. So I'm a Shakeem Griffin fan. I hope that he gets drafted in the first round. I hope that he gets a chance to play on Sundays and show people on the biggest stage of sports what you can do if you really set your mind and heart to doing something. And it's just an encouraging story. It's a feel-good story. And it's just one of those stories that you need to pay attention to, that you can follow along as he goes about pursuing his goal of becoming an NFL football player. So now, this is the part of the conversation that I've been so eager to put out and release. I had an opportunity to interview Dominique Perry, a.k.a. Tasha, from the hit HBO show Insecure. And, you know, I was a fan of Dominique from the show, and I decided to follow her on Instagram, just keep in touch and see what she was, you know, she had going on in terms of being a follower on Instagram. And it was just one day I just had the brain spark to say, hey, you know, why not reach out to her and her representation and see if I can get her onto the podcast. And you know, this is a bit of a milestone for me because I've never reached out to people who have, you know, as much visibility and name recognition as Dominique does. And it was a great experience because, you know, for me, it was just a matter of, you know, sending an email, and her representation was very professional and very gracious in handling that request and making time for me to sit down and bring you this conversation with Dominique. So this is a very much a Team Tasha episode, and I'm so glad that you guys are able to hear this episode. So if you're fans of the show Insecure, you're definitely about to enjoy this podcast conversation with Dominique Perry. I have a very special guest. You may recognize her from her role as Tasha on the hit HBO show Insecure. I'd like to welcome to the conversation Dominique Perry. Hey, Dominique, how are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you doing, Jameson?
I am doing great. You said that like you know, you've known me for a long time, so that makes me feel great.
That's good. I'm from the South. That's that damn home field. That hospitality.
See, that's why I knew I liked you. I'm from South Georgia myself, so I speak Southerner very fluently.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually over. I live in Atlanta, so so I didn't leave the South. I stayed put where I could trust people. So.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. I've lived there before too in Atlanta.
Cool. I guess the first question I wanted to ask you is, how did you become an actress? When did you wake up and decide that you wanted to, display your gift of being a thespian, if you will, to the world?
Well, I've been acting since I was 7, so it wasn't anything that I woke up doing or wanting to do. I've always wanted to do it. I've just been taking baby steps to get there. Still taking baby steps because I'm definitely not where I want to be in my career as of yet. But definitely at 7, my mom saw my interest was stronger, so she enrolled me at the Ensemble Theater in downtown Houston, where I'm from. And they taught me a lot of dance acting because I'm a dancer as well. They taught me, I did their main stage musicals and plays, and they taught me from 7 all the way up to 17. Then from there, I went to Prairie View University and majored in theater. Left there, went to Texas Southern University, but still doing all of this was doing like local films and stuff like that, and auditioning for stuff. And then from my last year at TSU, I decided I just didn't want to do school no more, and I just couldn't finish. And my itch, I just needed scratches, so I just decided to move to Atlanta to get the acting bug out there, see if I could raise my career out there. And I stayed there for 4 years, and then after booking a couple of things there, I finally moved to LA. So I've been doing it all of my life. It's just now I was just on a hit show, so now people, start to see you.
That's it. Your grind is starting to pay off, and so now your profile is rising because of that. And I think that's something that I always try to tell my listeners, and I try to tell people, especially young people, when they ask me questions like, what did you do to become successful at what you do, or how did you become what you are? You have to tell them that you got to put the work in, and I don't think people oftentimes appreciate the journey or the process, if you will. And I mean, you clearly didn't just wake up and become an overnight, success. You did the work,
No,
so.
definitely not. And still not there as I want to be. I know on the outside looking in, though, but it's definitely a rise. I do see the rise, yes. But it definitely has taken for me a lot of triumph and a lot of sacrifice, and still doing it to this day. So it hasn't been easy for me. Some people's journey is easier than others. So, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question then. What motivates you in your career?
The fact that I have nothing else to lose. I don't have a plan B. I've been doing this all my life, so I don't have anything to fall back on, so I have to keep going. My mother motivates me with all of the sacrifices that she made in order for me to just really get to where I'm trying to be, and just knowing that if I stop, I'll be just so unhappy. Like, I'll just be unhappy trying to live a normal life when that isn't the life that I feel like God purposed me for. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what kind of motivates me to go, like, okay, Dominique, you ain't got nothing else. You've been doing this all your life, and it'll be a waste of years if you just drop, and just try to do something else. So it's like I just got to keep going no matter how much. It can be like some tears and some struggle even to this day, but I just have to keep going. That's basically what motivates me, like the fact that I can't stop, because I'll be unhappy if I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
With that, it sounds like you've had some experiences where you've obviously had some setbacks. Can you share with me something you've been through, and then what helped you kind of get over that experience so that you could keep on going with your career?
Wow, something I've been through. It's so funny because I've been through a whole lot. I don't, you say something I've been through and what?
Well, just something that some type of an obstacle you had to overcome in your acting career, and and what sort of gave you the encouragement, or what did you draw upon to get over that obstacle?
Oh, wow. I think one thing that it's kind of funny. One thing that I just popped in my head that I went through was I was on the, I did this movie called Get Hard, and thought that I was going to make it, and I went to L.A. trying to come to the premiere. It was with Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, and I had a small part in it.
Okay.
And I thought that I was going to make it. I was like, okay, Mom, in a little bit you'll be able to quit your job or whatever. And so I went out here. I wasn't invited to the premiere, found out, but I made my way through. And then I was working at Hooters at that time, and then just having to come back home and having to go back to work. That just, to me, was like a horrible situation. And I just was like, oh, my God. It's hard to pinpoint something that I've been through at this moment, like just to think off that, because it's been so much that I've had to go through, and I've just been like, oh, my God. But just God just encourages me just to keep it going. Like, I can't even think right now about a certain specific situation, sadly, because it's just been a whole lot. So it's hard to answer that.
No, I think that's a good answer, you know, that you were in a movie and you thought that you had, you know, you had made it.
Had to come right back to Hooters
and
work.
And get, yeah, back to the, you know, I don't want to say back to reality, because that's not a fair way to describe it.
It was back to reality.
Okay.
It was back to reality for me. I was like, oh, well, here I go, you know, and I felt like God kept giving me, you know, throwing me bones here and there, but I never could get that bone that I could just rise, you know. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of set me back to reality. And like I said, that's the reason why I couldn't pinpoint a certain situation, because that's been my life and my story of, wow, you know, just getting – I felt like God was like, okay, I'll give you a bone here, and then kind of setting me back. So it's been crazy, but – I definitely see the growth, you know,
mm-hmm,
but he's been my encourager as far as like, keep going. I'm like, okay.
I think people don't realize how important it is to have a base of faith and a base of spirituality that you draw upon, you know. I've been through my share of challenges in my life, and, you know, people don't realize that what kept me going is that I had my faith in God that, you know, this moment, you know, that this moment doesn't last, you know, it's a storm, and that if you keep going through storm, you come out on the other side, you know, so that,
oh yeah,
you know, that's a very similar, I think.
But a lot of people don't feel that way yet. No. And I've been there, especially when you're going through the storm, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's like, you can be 6 months from now in a year from now in a whole different place mentally, a whole different place in your life, where you're like, where you overcame that, and you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
all I had to do was just wait it out and just keep the faith and know that God had me. But a lot of people aren't as religious, and so I get that. But to my people that are, just know God got us. Like, we'll be all right.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. I tell people, you know, for people, for us believers, you know, we know. We know.
Oh, yeah. You know. We know. He gonna come.
That's
he
it.
Just come when he feel like it, but that's cool.
That's real cool.
That's cool too.
So you talked about, you shared that story about, you know, that sort of reality check you went through. So then let's talk about, you know, I guess the moment that you found out that you were on, that you had got the role of Tasha on Insecure. You know, where were you and what were you doing when you got that information?
I had just moved out here for pilot season. Well, I wasn't even going to move. I was just going to come out here for 3 months for pilot season, which is a season. It's not really a season, because they film all year round.
Okay.
But it's been a season in L.A. where from like January to like March or April, they'll be, you know, having a lot of auditions for new shows that's coming out. New pilots, so they call that pilot season.
Okay.
So a lot of actors come here for that period of time and hoping to book something so that way they can stay or something. So I was like, I'm just going to come out here for pilot season. And this was 3 years ago when Insecure was just gearing up. And I had a manager then, a former manager.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, hey, there's this audition, you know, for this new show coming out on HBO called Insecure. I didn't know nothing about it.
Okay.
Of course, because it was new.
Yep.
And I just went in and auditioned, and they loved my energy. So I was like, okay, cool. And weeks went by. I auditioned for them like 4 times.
Oh, wow.
I even auditioned for the role of Issa's best friend, Tiffany, who plays the wonderful Amanda Seals plays her. So that was rightfully given to her. But I still wanted Tasha. I was like, man, I know Tiffany will be there to stay, but I really wanted Tasha. So weeks went by, and I saw a picture of them at a table read. And I was like, oh, man, they uncast her. Like, I had them laughing in the room. I don't understand what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finally called me a couple of weeks later to do a audition with Jay Ellis, who plays Lawrence, just to see our chemistry. And from then on, it just kind of like I had got the role, and I just was like, oh, my God. I was at home just kind of like screaming. Well, where I was staying, I was like screaming because I'm like, oh, my God, I got it. Because I told myself when I read Tasha, I said, I'm going to get this role. I like this girl. Mm-hmm. I like where she comes from and what she represents. I'm like, God, just please. I know that I've said I'm going to get this role before and don't really get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm like, because I wasn't really getting any auditions when I moved out, when I came there for pilot season. Insecure was like my only audition.
Mm-hmm.
And any others that I was getting no's for. So I was like, God, just let me get this yes. Let me get this yes. And he definitely knew what he was doing. And he blessed me to get Tasha, and I loved it.
Yeah, I think your charm as a Southerner definitely comes through and makes Tasha.
Oh, yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Because I didn't know anything about you professionally when I saw the show.
Of
because,
course.
You know, I'm sitting back. I'm just sitting back taking all these characters in, right? Because I didn't know anything about anyone. I think the person who was most recognizable was Amanda, because I remember her from her days as Amanda Diva.
Right.
Which is what I think in some terms makes that show so awesome, Insecure, is that you have this relatively,
we all do.
Yeah, you guys are new faces and some of that new, new growth in terms of Black Hollywood. And
And the fact that you didn't know us and we wasn't recognizable faces, so you could relate to the characters more. And I think that's why it's so relatable, because you hadn't seen us on a lot of stuff. So you couldn't be like, oh, well, I seen her on this movie. And, you know, I see, like, we're all new faces. So including Issa, even though she's been in the business for so long.
Sure.
Everybody was new. That's what made us so relatable. And they're just rising from it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that definitely you're right about that. And just your mm-hmm. persona and your energy, it definitely came across in the character. I was watching a scene in preparation for our conversation, and I love that scene where you and Lawrence are talking at the bank, and you're giving Lawrence the pep talk. You know,
yeah.
And that was such a real moment, because for me it was a real moment, because I've heard that pep talk in various forms from different women I've had the opportunity to know. And it was delivered, you know, beautifully. And I said, man, you know, that is what makes that show great and your character great, is that it reminds people of their lives in various formats or various pieces of their life.
Exactly.
You know, I just want the record to reflect so that my listeners will know that I was definitely Team Tasha when all the drama went down on the show in season one and in season
Thank
two.
Thank you. Oh, my God. They hated me.
I was going to.
Oh, my Jesus.
Well, I was going to ask
they
you.
They didn't hate me. They didn't start liking me until I left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that was the thing that was interesting to me, was that your character had grown from just being, you had grown from being someone that people, you know, kind of had mm-hmm. an empathy towards. To now, it was very much, you know, Team Issa and then Team Tasha. And it was just,
Wasn't it a battle? It was so weird. I was watching that and I'm like, wow. Because Tasha I love Tasha because she's not a prominent character. But she was a prominent character that made it. Like, she put a dent in it. And I definitely think she made her mark. You know what I'm saying?
You encapsulated the experience of Black women in such a profound way. You're the aspirational, at least your character, you're the aspirational. I think even your personality too, right? Based on some things you shared with me this evening.
Oh, yeah.
You're aspirational. The character not only values certain things that Lawrence appeared mm-hmm. to bring to the table, but you know, you clearly weren't just making your character clearly wasn't just making a superficial choice mm-hmm. in expressing your interest mm-hmm. towards Lawrence. You gave us the list. No. You gave us the list. You said you got a good, you know, you're an educated man. You got kids. You ain't got no kids. You know,
he is. And, he was great.
And I think that's why
he could have been a good check. not a check, but he could have been a good catch. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's cool too, right? Like, I think that's why people got pulled in such a polarized way, because, you know, they realized that, you know, I don't want to say that Lawrence in some way represented salvation in sense of, oh, you needed a man in the show. But mm-hmm. I think Lawrence was every woman's hope, at least every black woman's hope in some way, that a good man that is available and, you know, and is approachable and is somebody that's on the market or whatever. So I think that's why, mm-hmm. you know, it made it so polarized. But I definitely was Team Tasha. I'm still mad at Lawrence.
I'm so glad.
I'm still.
Thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah. And to be honest, if I was Tasha, I don't feel like she's mad at her now mad at him now that she's calmed down, because Lawrence is a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just caught up in a situation where he was still in love with his ex. And I feel like as a woman, as Dominique, I've learned not to get involved with a man who's just fresh out of a relationship, because he doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know if he wants to do a whole phase. He don't know if he mm-hmm. wants her back. And, you know, so he don't. So right now he's playing with you right now because you convenient. But now you just got caught up in the crossfire because all you want is a true man. See, you know, that's all she wanted. So she definitely got hurt in the process of him trying to find himself
mm-hmm.
and find his way. And I don't think that he intentionally meant to hurt her, because he really is a good guy.
Now,
like,
see,
he was an F-boy at that time because mm-hmm. he was mad, and mm-hmm. that was the wrong stuff to do. But I don't think that he would have done that if he was in his right frame of mind and just was single, you know, had been single for a while and ready to move forward. But he had a lot he was dealing with, so I get it. Like, Dominique gets it. I'm pretty sure Tasha gets it, you know? I mean, I don't know, but as Dominique, I get it,
yeah.
You know? Like, I wasn't too mad at him.
Yeah, you're giving up some game right there where you're talking about how he was playing around with Tasha after, you know, after the whole
mm-hmm.
situation with him and Issa. I'm going to ask you this about Lawrence, because this was a hot debate between me and a bunch of my friends. You said mm-hmm. that you believe that he is a good man, but you did qualify mm-hmm. talking about his, you know, him dealing with the breakup, you know, and trying to figure himself out. So just for the record, so that my friends can hear this coming from the horse's mouth, you felt like he is a good man, Lawrence.
I feel like he is a good man. I don't feel like he's a bad person. Because while he was with Issa, he wasn't a bad person. I mean, he got a little bit, you know, lazy and lost his way.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people do that, especially when they get comfortable in relationships, kind of like, you know, especially the man, I noticed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like he was a good man, and he just was trying to get a job and get up on his feet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke up while all of that was going down. So, I like I said, I don't feel like he intentionally meant to hurt her,
yeah.
Tasha. Now, if he intentionally had meant to hurt her, then I get that. Do I feel like he should have been playing with her emotions and took it as far as he was to keep having sex with Tasha?
Mm-hmm.
No, you should have, you know, because, but I notice a lot of guys, y'all just kind of act on y'all down there. Y'all don't really act in y'all's minds. So, and then you'd be like the girl tripping if all of a sudden she fall for you. I'm like, what? How we tripping? You the one that's been all over me. So it's, you know, I feel like he could have cut it before it got too far and her emotions got too deep in it. But do I feel like he was a bad guy? No, I don't.
No.
I know Tasha doesn't feel like that either, because he wasn't.
Okay.
I mean, in reality, he was not.
Mm-mm. No, I'm gonna let you paint all men with that broad brush, and because you gave me such good insight.
Sis just caught him at a bad time, that's all. Sis just should have waited a little bit before she started putting the you a good man on him type thing, and you know.
Yeah.
It was just like she was just somebody that was his encourager at that moment, and he needed that. So he fed on that. But then, like, once he got up and stuff and got his job and stuff, he kind of like, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah. But a good man, Lawrence definitely is to me.
I feel like you sat in on some therapy sessions that I've been a part of, and that you're channeling my therapist right now. Man, I need to get away from Lawrence, because it sounds like it sounds like you're helping to diagnose some of the stuff I've had going on in my life. So,
no. Is it true?
It is. I mean, and I think that's why, transition us a little bit deeper into the conversation about, insecure, is that I think what makes it awesome is that you guys really are drawing upon, I think, real emotions, because, right. That scene in the last episode of season one, where you see the the blue Best Buy shirt just waving in the closet, and then they cut they cut that scene over to you and Lawrence.
And they cut to our sex scene.
Yes. It was. I think that was so real, because sometimes you feel like, I mean, sometimes a relationship is in a place where, even though it might look like it's kind of getting back on the right track, you're just like, nah, that's not. I'm kind of done with this for right now. Even though I might come back to it later, but right now I'm done with that.
He wanted to be his own man.
Yeah.
And he wasn't he didn't want to conform into what Issa was telling him to do. So he was like, forget it. I'm finna listen to my ego, and I'm finna listen to my mind, and be like, I'm leaving this life behind, and I'm finna call up somebody that's been warned me and hit that real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm moving forward, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his mind. He wanted to be real strong, but it was cute for a minute.
Well, because as men, we like, if we can have something to show that we've upgraded with, then that makes us feel like we've made the right decision. Now our heart,
I know,
might not have caught up with what our mind is telling us, or other parts of our body, is telling us. But we'll say like, oh man, I've upgraded. Yeah. So, or at least
a lot of times though, I just feel a lot of men don't. They don't understand what they'll do to the other woman emotionally.
That's true.
Because they're not there emotionally. They're just trying to use that person to get over another person or use that person to come up. But you don't know that you're dealing with another woman's emotions as well. So, and she's coming with a clean slate and a fresh heart. So that's the reason why it can be a little bit of trouble a little bit down the line. And speaking of that with Lawrence and Tasha, because that's when it's like, you were just using me for a come up. You wasn't really into me. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of guys I notice, they don't realize in real life, they don't realize that they can really hurt that other person, So it can be a limbo when you're dealing with somebody fresh. It can be crazy.
Yeah. I think the cookout scene, in season two, really, really showed that, because I think clearly Tasha and Lawrence had gotten to a place where, they needed clarity. Lawrence, he was content with the arrangement.
I think Tasha needed it more than anything.
Yes. Because I think Tasha was putting, obviously, her heart into trying to,
make it work.
Trying to make it work. And that cookout scene is, that was like such a real black moment, because you don't bring nobody around the family if you're not serious about them. And
exactly,
not the cookout. What I'm saying?
Now, if and we'll think, and we'll paint a picture, us as women, because I've done it. We'll paint a picture, and the thing that I love about Tasha is I've been in that exact same situation, so I know exactly what my queen felt like. Even if it was a lot of people, well, he wasn't really taking you out like that. But it don't matter. If we like a guy, we will paint a whole picture. Some of us. I don't know about all women, but I know for me, I've done it. You can paint a whole picture like, I know what it is, but I'm going to just pretend that it's not that and pretend that he's all into me just because he only comes over on the weekends and we get down and we only went out like a couple times. That don't matter. He still likes me, so let me try to really open up and cook for him and bring him around the family and maybe he'll come around, and we always just hope that. So, I think she definitely was trying to, move forward, and I took you back after you said you slept with your ex or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we working on something. That's what she thought. We working on something.
Yeah. No. That's so true. In my dating life, I had someone bring me to a cookout and, mm-hmm. I had in the moment when I was asked to come to the cookout, I kind of paused. I said, I had to have a conversation with myself. I said, Dominique, okay, well, do I go or do I stay put?
Right.
And it was, and the truth be told, I had feelings for this person. So it wasn't like it was, a play thing. So I decided to go because I said, this is going to give me more insight into who she is and where she comes from and her experiences. But it was one of those moments where clearly there was a moment of clarity that, okay, what is this? And needless to say, I misread all of that apparently. So it went down in glorious flames, but I think you're right. I think that's why that scene resonated so heavily with me and my group of friends is because you're right. That it was a lot going on between them emotionally, but they were trying, or at least it seemed like they were trying, especially Tasha. She definitely was trying, but
Tasha was trying, I think more than him, because I think Lawrence was still loving Issa. And when he showed up at her house that one time outside of her house, he wasn't emotionally there with Tasha. Like, I felt like he liked the girl or whatever. She was cool. But the whole him trying to build her up, I mean, it was over. Like, the thrill was gone. So it's like, now you're moving too fast, young lady, and I'm still on my ex and trying to figure out what I'm doing with my job. Like, I'm not ready to jump into a new relationship, and I'm still loving her.
Yeah.
I'm still loving Issa. So, I definitely get it, and a lot of us have been there.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Dominique, the question that I think a lot of people are curious about. So, you kind of said that, Tasha still has, she's probably cooled down and, she may still be hurt, but she's not angry anymore. So is there a possibility that Tasha makes an appearance on season 3 in some type of capacity with her and Lawrence?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're gearing up filming season 3, so I'm not really sure if Tasha will return anymore.
Okay.
As of right now, I'm not too sure, because, that's Issa and the writers and everything like that. So they don't really give the actors any information until, a while from now. But I'm not too sure if Tasha will return this season. I don't know.
I think we need to
see. And that's just me literally being honest.
No.
I know sometimes you'll say, I don't know. You'll have to wait and see. No, I really don't know.
No, that makes it more. That makes it real. I think me personally, I need to see Tasha, I need to see Tasha victorious in a relationship. And
right.
I need to see Lawrence have that moment of like, crap, I lost her for good. I need Tasha to be validated, and not because she needs a relationship.
I'm sorry to cut you off, James.
No, you're
fine. I would really like that because so many fans have come up to me or have wrote on my social media and things, and they've been like, I just really want to see. One young lady said, I just really, for her sake and what she goes through, just really want to see a woman can overcome a situation where she's been hurt. And I hope that, you can always hope. I would hope that, Tasha comes back because, you never know. It'll be upcoming seasons. The show is freaking amazing. So it can go as long as Issa wanted to. I mean, it's the ratings are awesome. So it'll be other seasons. You never know if they'll bring Tasha back or if that was Tasha's demise. But I for myself would like to see, not just for my own career benefit, not just about that, just about Tasha as a character. For me personally, and having an attachment to her, I want to see her overcome. I want to see, what happened to her, if she rose above what she went through with Lawrence and moved on and can show other women, girl, you can move on from it. Trust me, you'll be all right, and you will find somebody that's meant for you, mm-hmm. and that other person that you thought wasn't. Like, I really hope that she does, but like I said, you just never know. So, you know, I'm cool with whatever that they do, but I just know a lot of fans have wrote me like that and, mm-hmm. and wanted to see, like, validation. Like, she was vindicated, and she rose above. So we shall see. I mean, I hope so, or upcoming seasons, you never know. But that would be really cool just to see, like, what she's been up to, you know?
Yeah, I think we all need, at least Team Tasha, we all need to see
see that
happen. And because that's real life too, where you've hurt somebody and you messed them over, and then all of a sudden you see them living life in a prosperous way, and you're like, dang, that could have been me, you know, if I had.
Or a lot of times you look at their social media and be like, oh, you know, what they doing, what they up to, you know. I have been thinking about it. Let me send a text like a hey stranger.
Hey, big
head.
Been
a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, what you up to?
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So you never know what they'll incorporate in the show with what happens with Tasha. But I really do hope there's closure. But if it's not, hey, she went out with a bang.
Yep. Yep.
She went out and stood up for herself.
Yep.
So if that's all the confirmation needed, hey, that can show a lot of women. Stand up for yourself and move on. So
that's it.
We'll
that's
see,
it.
Though.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I've got a few more questions that I wanted to try to get to Dominique, and and as we kind of begin to wrap up our conversation, we live in an age of black girl magic, and everywhere I go, I see black girl magic, whether it's in real life, in terms of my friend circle and people I know, or people in Hollywood, or or in all these different walks of life doing amazing things, these women who are contributing to the world. What is black girl magic to you? And then what is your black girl magic?
What is my black girl magic?
Mm-hmm. What is black girl magic to you? And then what is your black girl magic?
Black girl magic to me is us coming together and like us just being one. Because I think that that's what we need in such a time where black people are trying to overcome a lot of things, as far as like not just film, but just period, just self-esteem and everything that us black women go through growing up. And I just think that the fact of us having to support each other, I think that's magic right there. The fact that you can overcome the things that you've been through, I think that's black girl magic. And I think that kind of ties into my black girl magic, because of things that I've overcome and having to deal with self-esteem and triumph and sacrifices. I think that's what makes me such a strong queen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm able to pick up my boots and keep it going and just still stay strong and still remain beautiful. And, you know, it's just all of the things that we have to deal with, and the fact that we still have to go out with a smile on our face. That's black girl magic to me. It's dealing with our men. That's black girl magic to me, because sometimes we can get tore down by our own men and we still have to rise to the occasion and be elegant and be prosperous. And I love that we have to be strong. And even in this business, we have to push through a little bit more than the other races. And I like the fact that we are embracing one another now and calling each other our sisters now and really encouraging each other, because we need that. Like, a lot of women don't understand. We need that encouragement from y'all.
Yep.
So that's the reason why I like to call my other black women queens. I don't like to call them bees and stuff like that. Like, sometimes that's okay, like, if you want to be with your friends and stuff, but I call my black women queens, because we need that kind of uplifting towards one another. So that's what I think black girl magic is, just uplifting one another, showing that we are one. And my black girl magic is overcoming everything that I've been through and my triumphs, and still walking out and being the beautiful person that I am. Because it's been a lot. And I'm so proud of myself for being so strong, you know. It's a beautiful thing to have that melanated skin, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You know, I was joking with someone, matter of fact, this evening, and I was telling them that, y'all as black women, you just stop aging. So, you know,
yeah,
you know, you look like you're maybe like, you know, 31, 32. And for all I know, mm-hmm. you could be 67, you know, we just don't know because
yeah.
y'all just stop aging.
We don't
even know.
Yeah, we do. And we go through so much BS.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we walk out with our heads held high and we just keep it moving because that's just what we've been trained to do. And that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the fact that we're strong like that.
Yeah, I definitely am a fan of what we've got going on. You know, we saw Black Panther be successful with, you know, Black folk magic, if you will. And, you know, I gave, mm-hmm. Just for the record, I gave Black Panther A-. And my friends were like, why isn't it A+? Well, my thing, the reason it's not an A+, I'll tell you this. I won't tell anybody else this. It's just me and you talking. But if you had been in Black Panther, it would have been an A+. If you had made it to Wakanda, you would have made it an A+. So
thank you, James. You know what? I claim a big movie like that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I really do. We are going to claim that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I claim it that we're going to. I'll be in something that huge.
We are touching and agreeing that this will happen.
Yes.
For
Yes.
So
thank you.
I personally think that I'm just a regular guy who watches all this stuff happen in front of him, but I think that you're the next up in terms of those, in terms of like the Gabrielle Unions, the Nia Longs.
Oh wow.
You have a look, and I know mm-hmm. that's a part of it, but
right.
your personality, your spark, you know, that thing that
Thank
God
you.
Put in you. I think that's transcendent. And, you know,
wow.
You know, for you to have had the amount of exposure that you had on Insecure and yet
mm-hmm.
captivate so many people in the audience as we watch the show and wonder how things were going to work out with your
right.
character. You know, that's not writing alone that did that. That's your contribution to the art.
That's me.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I've heard that before from fans, and it really makes me cry. It really warms my heart that I feel like I've heard that before. Somebody was like, it wasn't just the writing, it was you.
No, that was you. Yeah.
And you made her so relatable, and you spoke to a lot of us women. And I just, that made me feel so good as a person, not just as Tasha, because now you're talking about Dominique acting.
Yes. Yes.
And I just am like, wow. Thank you so much. And that really gives me the encouragement to be like, I really can. It gives me the courage to know that I really can make an impact on the world that I've been wanting to make, and to have fans say uplifting things that you've said and, you know, other people have said. It does my heart justice. And I so appreciate that my spark comes out. Regardless of what I'm going through, like, my spark just still comes out and touches people. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
It is definitely, you know, it's definitely evident. And, you know, that's why I wanted to, you know, obviously reach out to you and make the connection and try to bring your story to my audience, you know, because we
mm-hmm.
need to hear that, you know, that's the black
right.
excellence. That's sort of the secret sauce of the black excellence, is that resilience, that,
right.
you know, that recognition of your purpose that you feel God has placed on your life and,
mm-hmm.
And also drawn upon the support of people, you know, whether it's in your family,
yeah.
your community, you know, that you've helped people to see not only your talent, but tonight,
right.
you know, you've also helped people see, you know, what it is that you know, that has been a part of your
mm-hmm.
journey to get you to that point. So
yeah, and it's been a crazy journey, a rough journey for me, but I take it all in as part of my testimony, and
yeah.
I can't wait to one day be able to share my testimony with the world once I get a bigger name for myself and have people really want to listen, because I think a lot of women will be able to relate to me, and I can motivate a lot of women with what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
But to even do baby steps like this, and you talking to me and me talking to others, that does, it's I'm like, okay, it'll get there. It's
mm-hmm.
getting there. I'm getting my story out a little bit here and there. So
Well,
but
I
just love the fact that people even want to listen. I'm
definitely going to stand on the mountaintop and shout it, and I'm going to blow this episode up and make it big as I can make it. So,
thank you, Jameson. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. The last thing I wanted to ask you is that let's get people up to speed on kind of what you've got going on in terms of future stuff. I follow you on you on Instagram, and I saw that you were posting something about a release coming up. What are some of the things that you've got going on that we should pay attention for coming in the near future?
Well, I did a show not too long ago called Black Jesus. It comes on Adult Swim.
Okay.
Cartoon Network turns into Adult Swim. And they're working on their third season. So we had already finished. We did that on last year, the latter part of last year. So I'm not sure when it's coming out. I don't know if it's coming out this spring or this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my future project. And as of right now, that's pretty much all I have that's up and coming.
Okay.
And just praying to God, you know, that I'm just, you know, steady getting myself out there and praying to God that I, you know, hit that next big thing. So we shall see.
Well, I'm going to put this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this one on the altar for you. I think that.
Thank you.
I think that when they remake Tina Turner's Story, that they need to cast you. And
oh Lord.
And
Tina Turner, that's so random.
You've got the dancing chops. You've got the look.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely want to do a dance. That's why I'm hoping God get me out there before I get too old, you know. You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm 29, but you know, God, come on now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to get it going before these bones start popping.
Oh Lord, I added some. Let me go back and I got to edit that out. I added some years to that 29. My Lord, forgive me for that. I'm so sorry.
Oh no! It's okay.
Cause
it's fine. I mean, I'm pretty much 30.
Yeah, y'all don't worry, because I'm telling you, once you hit 30, you won't age another day until you're 69. You know, just all of a sudden you'll be 69 years old.
I watch these black women and look like I don't even feel like I'm at my full potential right now. As far as looks wise, I'm like, once I hit them 30s, I'll really be able to find my niche, okay? And I'll be looking like a grown woman.
I'm telling you, it's always bad, especially in Atlanta, because there's so many single women in Atlanta. You know, I'm out there being nice and charming, and all of a sudden I realize I'm talking to somebody old enough to be my mom, and I'm just like, you know what? Y'all black women, y'all got voodoo. I'm telling you, We do.
And if you hear women's stories, you'll be like, oh, my Lord.
Mm-mm.
How you ain't got a wrinkle in your face.
That's it. That's exactly with all that you guys have to endure and go through, so.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Dominique, what is your social media that people can reach out to you and follow you and encourage you and you know, supply you with that just, you know, positive vibe that you need to continue on in your journey? How do we get in touch with you through social media?
Awesome. Well, my Instagram is at Dominique P, DominQuep. And my Twitter is the same, DominQuep. So you can find me on Twitter or on Instagram with the same name.
Perfect. Perfect.
Or Dominique Perry. Yeah.
And I will link to that in my show notes so that they can find it easy from the website. And
yeah, just one I on the Dominique. I know sometimes people overlook that, but it's just DominQuep.
Yeah. We will definitely make sure they know that. So Dominique, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. For being a part of the Culture and Conversations podcast, and you know,
of
I look
course.
Forward to I look forward when you get big, bigger, because I think I think you're big now, but when you get bigger, then I'm hopeful that I'll have a much bigger platform, and then you know we'll be in front of cameras and lighting and all stuff, and we'll do it real big.
And claim that.
Yes.
Claim that. It's a part of the ladder. It's a part of the ladder.
Yes.
We climbing it. It's going to be all right.
When
we get there, that's going to be fine. We'll have them cameras and just call me and we'll sit down and talk again and drink some tea.
That's it.
We'll be all right.
All right.
Thank you for having me as well, Jameson. I really do appreciate it. You wanted to talk to me. So thank you so much.
What a great conversation with Dominique Perry from the HBO show Insecure. I'm so glad we were able to make that interview happen. It's such a great story that she has. And you guys get to see her on her journey to becoming an Oscar award winning actress. No pressure, Dominique. Just laying it out there. Setting the expectations high. But that's the beautiful thing about her, is that her expectations for herself are so high that you can't really add to them, which is awesome. That's where you want them to be at. So I'm so glad that I had a chance to really, you know, bring that story to you guys, and make that story a part of the history of the Culture and Conversations podcast. And we just want you guys to continue to do what you do on social media to support the show. Let Dominique know that you heard about her on the Culture and Conversations podcast. Check out her social media and reach out to her and just say thank you for doing the Culture and Conversations podcast. As usual, if you want to reach out to the show, you can look us up on Facebook. Our page is Culture and Conversations. If you want to reach out on Instagram, the Instagram handle is Culture and Conversations. And if you want to send an email to the show to let us know what you think, maybe to book yourself on the show and reach out and try to get on, you can email at cultureandconversations@gmail.com. That is cultureandconversations@gmail.com. Thank you guys for being a part of the conversation. We've got some swag coming up that we're going to definitely give away soon. We want you guys to be able to have pieces of the show, mementos to let you, to let people know that you're a part of the conversation. So as soon as the swag comes in, I'm anticipating it any day now. Once that swag comes in, I'll tell you the details of how you can win some swag from the show, some promotional materials. The only thing you've got to do is let people know where you got it from, and also tell people about the show. The more people who listen, the more things we can do. So thank you guys once again for being a part of the conversation. I'm signing out. Peace.